trying, it's Hashem, to share a few thoughts. The thoughts are not entirely random, but on the other hand, they're certainly not entirely systematic, but hopefully they'll be of some value for us in trying to take advantage of the remarkable opportunity of Elul, and then subsequently of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The other note of introduction is that certainly any blueprint for change has to be individualized. That Kishem Shepitz Rufayim Shonim is Kachdei Aseyan Shonas, and my avoda in Elul isn't your avoda in Elul, and everyone's avoda has to be personalized, individualized to the person Ba'asher Husham. So, if you hear things in the next few minutes which don't resonate, which seem counterproductive, that may be the case, and the person shouldn't Chas v'shalom just indiscriminately apply. Hopefully, Be'ezus Hashem, most of what we'll discuss will be relevant to most of us. An issue, maybe the issue you'll forgive my projecting, that many of us confront in Chodesh Elul is my davening is inadequate, my learning is inadequate, my midos are inadequate. Where do I begin? It's overwhelming, and we know from Ibsal Salanta, famously, as you all know, commented that it's easier to master Shas than it is to break one Mida Ra'a and in its place substitute a Mida Tova. Rizal Salanta was not assuming that one was just learning Shas, Gemara, and Rashi either. He was assuming that one Mamish is Kone Shas as the Gdolim have done and do. And Afal Pichain, he said that to break a single Mida Ra'a and in its place cultivate a Mida Tova is a more formidable challenge. But it's very, very important to realize that the truth of that, notwithstanding, Rav Salanta didn't intend to thereby characterize or rank all change. Let's say I get into my car in the morning and the engine doesn't start. So it could be that the engine is broken and there's a very expensive, labor-intensive job that needs to be done to fix the car. Or it could be that I don't know how to handle the car, I don't know how to operate the car, and I didn't put the key in the ignition the right way, or I didn't press the button. You have to hit the button, at least in my car, it's very temperamental. You have to hit the button in the right place, otherwise the button doesn't want to cooperate with you. The car doesn't... So then, it's not a big job. It's not going to be labor-intensive. It's not going to cost me four figures to fix. I just have to know how to press the button. And then, abracadabra, the car comes to life. In the first two areas we mentioned, Ala Torah, Ala Avodah, Ala Gmilus Chasodim, the first two areas that we mentioned, both in Tefillah and in Torah, so one needs to consider the possibility that it's not so much, Rahman al-Islam, that we're broken, but we just don't know how to go about it. And specifically, we're, so many of us are challenged to have and to sustain kavana in tefillah. L'maisa, Chazal give us certain directives again, which is the nimshal to pressing the button, which is the nimshal to inserting the key in the ignition the right way. And the question is, are we operating by the manufacturer's instructions? Chazal say that we're supposed to come before davening and prepare for davening. That a person can't, there's no switch inside our brain that can be flipped that allows us to transition into a mindset which is conducive for davening. I don't know, if davening is called for 7 o'clock, I'll advise that we're there at 7 o'clock. But according to Chazal, if davening is called for 7 o'clock, so it means that you have to be there before, because there has to be Ashrei Yoshvei Vesecha, Od Yalalu Chasela. There has to be some minimal period of Hachana. Chazal say that we're supposed to daven the way a person is Mone Mo'os. So now you can't really see it anymore. Once upon a time, when you went to the bank, you could see the bank teller count the money. Now they have this fancy machine that counts the money for them. But in the good old days, when the bank teller had to count the money, so first you have to make sure that your finger is moist. Chas v'shalom, two singles shouldn't stick together. Then you count once, and then you count the second time. Because if the draw is going to be short at the end of the day, so then the bank teller is going to be held accountable. So clearly, again, everyone's optimal pace in davening is not the same. They are saying shonos, but everyone's pace has to be characterized as it's something deliberate. And again, this is just what Chazal tells us. This is again there's nothing. It's not a question of fixing something broken in us. It's a question of knowing how to handle the system. We're not supposed to talk during davening. We're supposed to daven keseder. There's no reason to be discouraged or demoralized by the overwhelming nature of a problem when, at least partially, it's attributable to the fact that we're just, on a very basic level, not operating the way we're supposed to operate. It's not a question of none of this is oh, there's some midah in me about my attention span, v'chula, v'chula. No, yitachin, that's going to be an avoda also. But the point is, there's a considerable part of it which is clearly not what Rabbi Saul Salanto was talking about. That clearly we don't need and we shouldn't be daunted or discouraged. It's just a question of knowing. You can't expect the car to run if we can't expect it to run if we don't insert the key into the ignition correctly, if we don't press the button the way it's intended to be pressed. And the same thing again, not to imply that beyond these things that we won't find that we have work to do. But the point is that clearly, the foundation for any additional work is just these basic halachas which Chazal gave us, provided us in teaching us how to daven. It's a big problem institutionally in the yeshiva, the fact that skipping parts of davening is institutionalized, that if you blink after la'olam yehi'adam yirei shamayim, Shliach Tzibur is somehow or other saying mizmor shir. You don't have to blink slowly either. You can blink quickly, and somehow or other that's what happens. So, and then if after blinking you sneeze after Mizmor Shir, he's holding by Yishtava. So, I don't know, it's not such a mystery why it's hard to have why it's hard to sustain kavana, and it's not indicative of it being an overwhelming challenge. Similarly, in Talmud Torah, there's again, as was the case with tefillah, not to imply that there aren't real personal challenges that we have, but a lot of it, again, is just following the guidelines for how to go about it. Many, many years ago, I don't know, it was a long, long time ago, so Chacham Ovadia Zechon Levracha came and spent a week as a guest of the yeshiva, and he gave some public shiurim, he gave a chavur in Oshachtas Kolel, and even came to the Reed's dinner. So after the chavur in the Kolel, so he gave some divrei musar, divrei hisaros, and he said that people come to him for that he should give them a bracha, that they should remember their learning. He asks the petitioners, he says, tell me, how many times do you chazar what you learn? And the response he gets is, what's chazar? At which point he says, you don't need a bracha, you need to do chazar. So here too, what the story, again, reflects is that sometimes it's not that there's something broken about us, where then we have to invoke Ibsal Salanta and to realize that, you know, it's going to be a long, slow, and gradual process. There's nothing broken in us. Sometimes it's just that we're not operating the system the way the system is intended and designed to be operated. A person has to be in the right shear. A person has to be learning on a level that he's capable of learning. He has to not be trying to run before he knows how to walk, and he's supposed to not be trying to get ahead of himself in his learning. He's supposed to be learning those miktsaos that are appropriate for him on his level, and not be overreaching, and whatever lack of accomplishment or hatzlacha a person is having when he's not abiding by those basic guidelines as to how we're supposed to go about the mitzvah, again, doesn't mean that there's anything fundamental, rachmana litzlan, broken inside of us. It just means that for whatever reason we're ignoring the directives and the instructions as to how to go about the mitzvah. But what about, obviously, as true as this is in the context of tefillah and Talmud Torah, so obviously the question that we posed at the outset remains and is a question that we have to grapple with. So, Moshel Ma'adav Adama. Let's say you have a person, he's somewhat of a workaholic, stays much longer in the office than any of his co-workers. That's one problem. He has another problem, that his personal relationships, his with his spouse, with his children, with his parents, with his siblings, with his friends, there's tension in that area. At times he seems to grandstand a little bit, seems to show signs of gaiva. So that's a pretty full plate if we're going to try to help this person and get him on track. If it's true, in that hypothetical case, it may or may not be true. But if it happens to be true in that hypothetical case, that really there's one common shoresh to those three things, that really the pshat is, again, in that hypothetical case, it may not be true, but it may be true also. But if it's true, that really he suffers from a sense of insecurity. So because of that, he overdoes things at work because he never thinks it's going to be good enough. And that's why he's putting in more hours. And because he's insecure, so things that are said to him very innocently, so he misconstrues and he takes the wrong way. And because of that, he's very thin-skinned. And that's why there's all that contentiousness between him and everyone he deals with. And that's why at times he's grandstanding. That's his way of compensating, overcompensating for his insecurity. So if that's true, then clearly, instead of trying to address all three of those individually, which may be much too much to focus on at one time, if we can address the underlying insecurity, so then memela, that will help correct all three of the problems. The nimshal. So let's suggest the following core hashkafos, the following core attitudes that if we work on internalizing, can then basically reduce the task of being misakein 30 different midos and 30 different areas of life, and make it a much more concentrated and focused and therefore realistic undertaking. For the core hashkafas, we needn't go further than Pirkei Avos. We needn't go further than that. Olam Hazeh is opposed to Bifnei Olam Haba. It's a challenge experientially to feel this when you're young. It's very easy when you get older. When you're young, it's very difficult to feel it. Life is very temporary. It's very fleeting, and it's very, very temporary. When a person is young and physically betokpo, so there's no physical reminder or reflection of that. And it's a big nisayon, even though intellectually everyone knows that we're all mortal, but a young person psychologically, experientially, doesn't feel mortality. You don't. Adrava, from the whole trajectory in terms of physical strength, in terms of intellectual maturation, the whole trajectory has been up. When a person gets to an age where the trajectory is already going down, and physically he sees the decline. And if it happens also, Rachman al-Tzlan, that intellectually the person feels the decline, so then it's much easier to align the psychological and the experiential with the intellectual understanding. But it's a big nisayon. When you're young, Rabbi Osei, it's a big nisayon. But one core awareness is Olam Hazeh Doma L'Poz B'Fnei Olam Haba. It's a temporary place, and it's a temporary place that's intended to be a segue, a waiting room, an antechamber, a bridge. Closely related to that Some say that the Tzkiyah Shofar at the end of Yom Kippurim is reminiscent of the Yovel year when there was a mitzvah shofar on Yom Kippur. Bizman Shah Yovel Noah, so the mitzvah shofar was they had a mitzvah shofar on Yom Kippur. So on Yovel, all the sados are chozros, because the Torah says, Ki gerim v'soshavim atem imodi. Because no one's a balabos, no one's a homeowner. Everyone is a tenant at will. Again, obviously that's closely related to the first core hashkafa we spoke about. But it's not identical. Maybe the way to think of Gigerim Soshavim Atem Imadi is, again, not only in terms of being a tenant at will, that one doesn't have a lease which guarantees that one can continue to reside for any length of time. But think of it even that a person is, maybe the moshel is, he's even an illegal alien. He has no claims, no entitlement. The moshel perhaps is as follows. Imagine again, I apologize, my mosholim are all as old as I am, so they're outdated, I apologize. But before BATM, before ATMs, back in those days, so if you wanted to get money, so you had to go to the bank and you had to make a withdrawal and you had to stand in line. So sometimes the lines were very, very long, and if anyone would cut the line, so then everyone who's been waiting in line for an hour, the tempers would flare. So imagine such a scenario, that you had such a line, face Friday afternoon before holiday weekend, so the lines were gefällig. So imagine you have such a line, and then someone comes and cuts the line, and everyone's up in arms, and everyone is so irate. And there's one person who's put a blood pressure cuff on him. No, he's not. His blood pressure is not going up. No cortisol being released. He's totally serene and totally placid. So they ask him, how can it be that you're not upset? So his answer is, well, I'll tell you if you promise not to tell anyone. The truth is that I'm in this country illegally. I'm an illegal alien. So I realize I don't have a right to be here. I'm not entitled to anything. So yeah, is what he's doing wrong? Avad, it's wrong. But that I should feel personally encroached upon, I realize that I'm not entitled to that, because I'm not entitled to anything, because I have no zchuyot here. Gerim v'soshav matem imadi. And finally, maybe a third core attitude, which, again, also can spill over into so many areas of midos and so many areas of avodas Hashem, so that we don't have 20, 40 projects for the coming year, but these core projects. Sometimes we have a mistaken definition of avodas Hashem. And we define avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem means Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, so it means first and foremost learning. But then avada, it means davening, dvarim ha'omdim b'rumo shel olam, and it means mitzvah shofar, and it means mitzvah lulav, and it means. So how is that an erroneous definition of avodas Hashem? Isn't that correct? The answer is no. It's not a correct definition. That the definition of avodas Hashem means that a person is doing whatever at this moment is the Ritzon Hashem. That's the definition of avodas Hashem. If achmanu litzlan, a person is sick on Yom Kippur, and there's a suffix sakana which warrants his eating, so then it's a mitzvah to eat. It's a mitzvah to eat. And there shouldn't be the psychological frustration of I'm eating. If a person right now, a mitzvah she efshar lehasos adei acherim comes his way. Whatever that mitzvah is, maybe it's family responsibilities, in whatever form or shape that mitzvah takes. So often we have this frustration of, if only I didn't have this responsibility, if only this person wouldn't be such a nudnik and wouldn't be bothering me, so then I could sit and learn in peace. But that's missing the point. It means that Talmud Torah sort of becomes its own independent value, as opposed to Talmud Torah, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the Torah, Ulimadtam Osam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the Torah, Vishinantam Levanecha. So Avodas Hashem, it isn't Talmud Torah per se, it isn't Tefillah per se, it isn't anything per se. It's doing whatever Ritzon Hashem is at this particular moment. So much of our misplaced priorities in life, so much of our misuse of time, so much of our waste of time, so much of our pettiness, ben odom l'chavero, so much of our challenges in terms of midos, in terms of anger, in terms of kapdonos, in terms of frustration. So you think about it, to the degree that a person is able to internalize these core attitudes, so it makes a dent. It's not 10 individual projects, which is too much and too overwhelming. No, but they can be, according to some pshatim, that's the pshat in the Gemara in at the end of Makos about David vehamidan al so many and ba Chavakuk vehamidan al so many, telling us yesodos that if you identify the yesod, so then one's avoda can be concentrated and it will spill over into all those areas which we wanted to spill over to. Anger, pettiness, materialism, careerism, obsession with money, standard of living, all these things don't need to be, shouldn't be seen as independent, distinct challenges. If they're just attacked behaviorally, so einachanami they are, but they all share a common shoresh, which these core attitudes that we're talking about address. Obviously, that begs the question. I think I'm over time already. So with this, maybe to end. Obviously, that begs again. How much time I spend working as opposed to how much time I spend learning with my family, Tzarkei Tzibo, etc. Having the right priorities, all these things will be a spillover, there will be a carryover, there's direct application from these core attitudes, which begs the question, so how do we go about internalizing? So the answer is that there's no shortcut, there's no quick fix. But Ramchal and others, Ramchal is not the only one, one of the Chachmei HaMasora who tells us that if we would walk around, if we maybe have one tkufa every day, where a person just thinks about these core attitudes and hashkafas, and just repeats them to himself. Repeats and reinforces, repeats and reinforces. Sometimes we, in learning, because we correctly, admirably want sheyu divrei Torah mechudadim b'ficha, we want to know everything. So we're always looking to learn something new. And sometimes, as correct and as admirable as that impulse is, in that context, we fail to appreciate the importance sometimes of not necessarily learning something new, but just repeating and reviewing and reinforcing something that we already know. And that is what makes the transition from just knowing something to internalizing it and to having a constant awareness. So just imagine if that were our project. If our project were, again, to begin, one suggestion, to begin in Chodesh Elul, in these days, finding one extended period of time, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is, and then in addition, periodically, over the course of the day, to take out my dated terminology, to take out an index card, I guess now you take out your whatever, some gadget, but to take out an index card, and on the index card it says Olam Hazeh Dome Beposed B'Fnei Olam Hava. It says Kigerim V'Sashav Matel Mimadi. It says that Ha'odam Nivra Lasas Ritzon Hashem, whatever Ritzon Hashem is at this moment. And if a person would check in with that index card constantly, so God helpen, as the Haftach is, Haboli Tar Messiah, so that it can lead to tremendous bracha. Thank you.